This morning, we're going to wrap up the last part in our current series, Iconic Summer. Iconic Summer. See all those icons or images? In the Bible, God uses the languages and the pictures of everyday stuff. Things like wine, things like mountain, trees, rock, fire, clothes, to reveal something about God himself to us, and also, furthermore, to reveal to us what you and I need. So, for example, when we talked about that God is like the rock on the bottom row, okay, that means God is the foundation upon which we receive our security, we receive our comfort. He is never changing. He is everlasting. So God is like the rock. And in the person of Jesus Christ, we receive that strength and courage. You see? So if you miss any of the Iconic Summer Series sermon topics, feel free to go to our website, mosaichouse.ca, and click on the sermon tab. You get to hear all of them. And this morning, we're going to wrap the series up with the topic of wilderness. Wilderness. It's a place of arid, dry, hungry, thirsty place. It has really, if you think about it, very negative connotation. You don't want to be in the desert, do you? You don't want to go to wilderness. And yet, God has this idea of having us go through the place of wilderness, the desert, so that he may do something great out of that. Let's have the message sentence. If you want to remember anything at all today, this is it, okay? God lead you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness. God is wanting to lead you into the wilderness, the place of desert, thirst, and hunger, so that at the end, when you come out of that place, he may shower you with his richness. It's a tough place to be. You don't want to go there, really. I don't want to go there. But when we go there, because of God is sending and leading us there, the good thing that's going to happen out of that experience, though hard it may be, is that he will shower you with his richness. So let's say this together in one voice. God leads you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness. One more time. God leads you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness. I want to share with you my one experience of my wilderness. There could be many in your life. We all get to experience some of them. But here's one. When I was in the university, in my third year, I signed up to go overseas to Bulgaria and to serve God in a short-term mission. And so there was a big event in Europe. Everyone came together, and we all gathered, and our team was sent to Bulgaria. In our team, there were 15 of us, two people from the U.S., I was one of those, members from Korea, New Zealand, Australia, England, Malaysia. It was a really diverse, eclectic group of people, and we all went to, as a team, to Bulgaria to tell everyone who Jesus is. I signed up because out of guilt. I said, some time ago, many years ago, before that event, I said, okay, Lord, because I feel like I should, I'm going to serve on a short-term mission. And this was my opportunity. I felt obligated, so I signed up and I went. Okay? Not the best motivation, but nonetheless, it was a good thing. So we went, and we were there for 3 months. 3 months in Bulgaria, reaching out, serving the Turkish community. 10% of the population in Bulgaria is Turkish, and they live in remote villages. And we would travel from one place to another. And here's the thing. This is why this was my wilderness. Wilderness is a place where you have to rely on God. If God doesn't show up in your wilderness, you are pooped. Don't repeat that elsewhere. Wilderness, the desert, is a time and a season and a circumstance that you face in which if God doesn't show up, you are pooped. You are finished. So you rely on God, okay? And this is how it happened for me and for my team members. On this mission field, in a remote parts of Bulgaria, we had nothing. All we had was three vans traveling together. Okay? If we had to find food, guess what we had to do? We got on our knees, God, we got to eat. Please, send bread. And lo and behold, we would find bread. We travel, we do the gospel presentation, we do all the stuff about Jesus Christ, and then we have to say, God, we get on our knees, God, we got to sleep tonight, and we were tenting every night. Would you please find us a place where we could pitch our tents? And lo and behold, down the road, on the right, was the right place. At every turn, at every day, for anything at all, we had to rely on God. Oh, God. Please send. Please help. Please, please, please. So it was a wilderness experience. Okay? Good things happened out of that. Two in particular. One, obviously, the people who received our ministry, they were encouraged and edified, right? They heard about Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done. So that was fantastic. But even more importantly, perhaps in the personally for me, is it's not so much what God has done to the people through me, it's what God has done in me while I was there. Because when you are in the wilderness, what do you have to do? You have to, you must depend on God. That's why it's called the wilderness. Okay? One difficult thing that I found out about was who I was. And I'm going to say more about this in the second part of the sermon, which was this. I'm going to wait, okay? Now, so, God leads you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness, all right? Here's the question. What is your wilderness? Are you facing one right now? Have you been to one? And I guarantee you, mark my words, if you haven't, you will. Because God loves you. The reason you are here, as Mosaic House Church family, as our guests, as a seasoned Christian, or someone who is seeking about Jesus Christ, you know nothing about God, you know nothing about the Bible, and yet God is wooing you. He is reaching out to you, and therefore God loves you, and that is why you will be led into the wilderness. What is that wilderness for you like? And how are you doing? Is it in relationships? You are there, but you're not there. Is it in employment? You are unemployed, or you are employed, but this is not satisfying to you. It's not fulfilling. Are you in need of financial assistance? Whatever that wilderness may be, focus on what God is doing to you and for you, primarily so that you may experience his joy. So let us turn to the reading of God's word. It is from the book of Deuteronomy, Chapter 8. Here's a little backdrop, okay? Little historical context, because this will help you understand what's going on here. Very, 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 very important. One of the most defining moments, look up here. One of the most defining moments in the life of the nation of Israel is, repeat after me, the Exodus. The Exodus. It means, as the name suggests, leaving, exiting Egypt. For 430 years, the people of Israel were in captivity in Egypt as slaves. They had no life. They had no freedom. They had no identity except that they belonged to the Egyptians and they were hard laborers. For how long? 430 years. Very, very tough time. And they cried out to God, God, help us. God, in his great mercy and compassion, he sends a prophet named Moses. You've watched the movie, perhaps? Moses, go to Pharaoh. Tell him, let my people go. So God takes the people of Israel out of Egypt from the land of slavery, and he promised, I will bring you into the land of the promise. From the land of slavery to the land of freedom. From the land of destitute into the land of prosperity. The promised land is where God is going to take the people of Israel out of Egypt into But along the way, here's what happens. God takes them through, you guessed it, the wilderness. He doesn't take the short way. He doesn't take the fast way. He takes the long way around for 40 years. Now, you could, in a straight line, travel from Egypt to the Promised Land in a very short period of time. But God took how many years? 40 years in the wilderness. All right? Now Moses, so they traveled together in the wilderness, and now at the very end of the journey, they could see the Promised Land right before the Jordan River. My wife and I were there. Before Moses says goodbye, because God is taking Moses away from the people, Moses will be beamed up. Moses gives his farewell speech. He is telling the people what took place and what they must remember. Okay? So that's the context. Very important. So now let's receive it. As I read it, think about, identify how often Moses, in the power of the Holy Spirit, keeps saying things like, be careful, remember, don't you forget. Now this is the important thing. Okay, here we go. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember, it comes again, the key word. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these, how many years? 40 years. To humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And that's the purpose for which God brought the people into the wilderness. To test and to know what was in your heart. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known. When they got hungry, there was nothing to eat, right? So they prayed on their knees, just like I did with my team members. God, we are hungry, we need food. And God miraculously, supernaturally sent something called manna. It's like bread, sweetened bread that fell from heaven, like rain. So God provided for them, and that's what they're talking about. To teach you, let's read the following sentence together, that man does not live on bread. Read it together. I'm back. All right, let's read it together. To teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. The lesson behind the dinner. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these, how many years? 40 years. The number is significant. I'll come back to that. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. As a father disciplines his child, God disciplines you. Another key word. Remember, don't forget, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills. Picture this in your mind. When they walk through the world, in the desert, God is promising the land that you will have, the land that I will bring you into, will have this gushing springs. But there's more. A land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil and honey, sushi, goulash, kimchi, rice, you name it, goat stews. I'm getting hungry. How about you? A land where bread will not be scarce. You will lack nothing. A land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills like petroleum, as it were. Now here comes the warning. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Yours, be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, that is to say, you come to Canada, you work hard, you find a job, maybe a couple more jobs, and you save, you work hard, you buy a house. You have children now, you got two cars, and you have all these things. And when you are eaten and satisfied, the warning is, don't forget the Lord, because then, let's read this all together in verse 14. Then your heart will become proud and will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. This is so important. I'll come back to that. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. One day they were thirsty. And they grumble against God. God, we are thirsty. Quench our thirst. So God instructs Moses to hit the rock, and out of which gushed forth water, living water, spring water. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. Again, the key verse, key words. But remember that the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Remember that all the good things that you have, the good things that you have worked for with your own hands, even that is a gift from God. God gave you the ability and the opportunity to produce wealth. So, friends, God leads you into the wilderness that he can bless you, shower you with his richness. About 2 years ago, my wife and I, we, along with 20 other pastors and their spouses, we went on a study tour to Israel, Egypt, and Jordan. We were so thankful to the church for giving us the time to go, and we were very thankful to God for the generosity of this couple out of Vancouver. They were wealthy people. They did really well. They worked hard, but God produced their wealth, and they wanted to serve God. And one of the ways that they have done, and they're still doing, is they want to send the pastors and their spouses to the Holy Land to learn about the Bible first-handedly. So the 20 plus their spouses, we went. And here's what we found. I couldn't have the picture of the wilderness, the desert, but I got to describe this to you. What you see is the Nile River. That's the Nile River. And when we went up on this mountaintop, looking down on the land, okay, it was so vivid, it was so obvious where life resides and where life does not reside. Whenever there is a Nile River running through, then you see greens everywhere. Life was there. Life was living there. There are crops, there are wheats and barley, pomegranates, olives. Life was there. And it was as clear as day and night. Okay, so I'm going to call you people, because I like you. You are in the Nile. That's where life resides. Greens and food and fruits. Now, nothing against you. This is the wilderness. And the contrast between that and the wilderness, where there is no life, there is no water, there's no food. It was like day and night, and you could see it. It was like there's a line between the two. Life resides, life does not reside. Let me just show you, or try to explain to you, how hot and what a dangerous place the desert was. The temperature was about 45 Celsius. On this, we climbed this hill, mountain. It's all sand everywhere. And you see nothing but your own footprints, because people don't go there. Why not? There's nothing to do. There's no life, no opportunities. We walked there, and the heat, oh my goodness. Have you ever had a time when you're baking something in the oven, like an apple pie or a pot roast, and you open the door to check it, and as you open it, you know, the heat just hits you? I burn all my hair. That heat, that was the heat of the desert. No wonder life can't survive in the wilderness. It was that hot. Okay? Now, here's the thing. Israelites, they were in where? In Egypt, by the Nile River. And God says, I'm taking you out. I'm going to take you to the promised land. But first, I'm going to take you to where? Into the wilderness, where there is no life, where there is no water. And that is what God is doing on that day, and that is exactly what God is doing today for us. Now, here's the reason. Why does God take us into the wilderness knowing that it is so hard and hot and thirsty and hungry things are in the wilderness? Because he leads you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness, right? So here's how he showers us with his richness, his blessing. Okay? Number one, God is leading you into the wilderness to humble and to test you because your heart is exposed in the wilderness. God is leading you into this tough place, tough time, tough circumstances. Why? To humble you and to test you because it is in the wilderness your heart is exposed. Back to my missionary journey in Bulgaria. I told you that there were a team of 15 of us relying on God, and we were in the wilderness, and this is how God exposed my heart. Friends, don't do this. You will regret this. Don't ever spend with anyone else for 3 months, 24 hours a day. You know why not? Because either you will kill them or they'll kill you. Because when you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 months, everything is exposed. All my flaws, all my idiosyncrasies, all the things that bother my children and my wife. Now, they have no options. They're stuck with me. Okay? But it is in the wilderness you are exposed. You are exposed. And that's because that's the place where God humbles you and tests you what's in your heart. John MacArthur, the very famous, influential Christian pastor, teacher, leader, okay? He had some time ago, had undergone this really devastating time. It was so hard. It was so hard. And I heard him being interviewed about that. And he said, you know, looking back, it was the most difficult time in my life, meaning he was in the wilderness. Get it? Okay. But then this is what he said. But good things came out of that. As painful, as hard, as trying as things were in the wilderness, good things happened. And the interviewer said, how do you mean? Well, we only grow when we are humbled. And in our nature, we don't want to be humbled. That's the truth. You don't want to be humbled. I don't want to be humbled. But the reality is, without being humbled, we don't grow. Without being humbled, nothing is exposed. Unless we're exposed, we learn from it, and we grow from out of that. Okay? So that's what I said. Since I won't humble myself, God allowed hard things. God allowed the wilderness. He let me into the desert to be tested and to be humbled. So friends, let me ask you, if you are going through the wilderness now, or when you go through the wilderness, the reason behind that is God is for you. He is allowing you to be humbled and to be tested. Word of caution, God leads you into the wilderness for our character building, for our faith building, right? But there are times, many, many times, we get lost in the desert because of our mistakes. So I just want you to know there's a difference between God leading us into the wilderness. We haven't done anything wrong, but God allows that tough time to shower us with his richness. It's not the same thing as when we make the wrong choices, which we often do, when we choose the wrong things, which we shouldn't have, which we do all the time, then we say, oh, God is leading us into the world. No, you're just getting lost in the desert by yourself. However, here's the good news. Even if we get lost by our own failures, even then, God has the power and he has the love for you to bring something good out of that. All right? So, I want to read verse 3 and 4 now. Verse 3 and 4. Okay? God humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that, let's read this together, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. What God is trying to show you as you're being exposed in the wilderness is that, hey, trust me. Trust me that I will provide for you. Don't go on your own like you could save your own self. You can't do that. You're not powerful enough. You're not good enough. I love you. Therefore, I got to save you. I got to put your trust in me. And that is the lesson in the desert. That's the lesson in the desert. That God is causing us to trust him. And that we really need God's provisions in our lives. God is also showering us with his richness by teaching us that we do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let's spend some more time here. Okay? What he's saying is this. Even though you are fed with manna, you can still be hungry. Even though you have drunk. Even though you have drunken the water from the rock, you could still be thirsty. Unless we are satisfied in God, whatever comes from God's mouth, then we will still be hungry and thirsty. Let me remind you. Most of us think, you know, this wilderness, it's about my job. But if you're not satisfied fully in God alone, without your job, even after you are employed, you will still be unfulfilled. Does it make sense? If the wilderness that you are suffering today or facing today is about children or lack thereof or the problems that you have having your own children, if you think unless they are fixed, you won't be happy, I'll tell you what. If God is not your full satisfaction, even if all things go well with your children, you will still be unfulfilled. Let me put it this way. If you are looking for this Mr. Right and Miss Right, and you feel your wilderness is finding that future spouse, unless you are satisfied with God today without your future spouse, you will still be unsatisfied even after you get married. Ask my wife. Words to the wise. And that's what God is saying. Allow me to be your bread. Allow me to be your living water. Allow me to be your occupation, career, your children. And after that, only after that, all these things will be a blessing to you. God is humbling you, and this is how God is showering us with his richness. God is humbling you and testing you so that in the end, it might go well with you. Verse 16. Is that word well, friends? It's not pleasant, I know. It's not easy, you know. But since God wants us to go to the place of this wilderness and desert, and the intention and the purpose is so that at the end, it may go well with you. You've got to be able to trust this God. And that's the problem with us. We think we know this is hard, but I want to believe at the end of the tunnel, God will do something good out of this difficult times. I want to believe that, but the question is, can I trust him? Can I trust him? I'll come back to that again. I want to read verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. And this is the reason for which he allows tough things to happen. Because he loves you. My father's mom passed away when my dad was 6 years old. My grandfather got remarried. And my grandfather and the step-grandmother had three more children. And my dad realized this. As young as he was, he realized that his stepmom would discipline his half-siblings. Younger sister and two younger brothers. And as young as he was, he knew this. Stepmom is not disciplining me. But my half-siblings, they are being disciplined by her. And he knew whom she loved. So my dad would purposefully get into trouble, do naughty things and make mistakes. Why? He wanted to be disciplined by his stepmother so that he knew that he was loved by her as well. God is allowing you to go through the tough times into the wilderness because he wants to shower you with his richness. And the richness is this. I want to love you as a father. So friends, let me stop, hit the pause button here. Unless this God, this amazing big creator God beyond the universe and the galaxies, unless he becomes your personal father, if you don't have that relationship, you will never experience this showers of richness. Has God become your father through Jesus Christ? Have you said yes to him? God, not only are you the creator, but I want to be your child. I receive your blessing. I receive your gift. You're making me, you're adopting me as your child. And that is the message of Jesus Christ. God leads you into the wilderness to shower you with his richness. Now, here's the thing. Let's come to a conclusion. He humbles us. He tests us. Here's the truth of the matter. I have failed the test. You have failed the test. Each and every one of us has failed the test. When God takes us through the wilderness, we will never, never sustain the test. Because we will always choose the things of God over God himself. The problem we have is that we want things from God, but we don't really want God. We want things from God, the benefits, the blessings, the rewards. But we're not really interested in the person of God as our Father. So here's how God concludes in the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 3. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did, even though I provided for them, even though I showed my mercy, even though I proved myself to them, they did not accept me as their Father in heaven. That is why I was angry with that generation, and I said, their hearts are always going astray. They're not choosing me. They want things from me, but they don't really want me, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. The rest, the promised land. They were there, but they missed the point. They never had the freedom. They never received all the showers of God's richness. Why? Because someone else had to come and pass the test for us in our place. Because we couldn't pass the test. Because we couldn't be humbled. Someone else took our place. This is Matthew chapter 4. the person of Jesus Christ, and this is the whole thing. Jesus was led by the Spirit into where? The wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days, was he hungry? Yes. Was he thirsty? Yes. And he was, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, oh, how many days? Oh, the number 40 appear once again. Matthew is saying Jesus underwent the testing in the wilderness for 40 years, as it were. Okay? At fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter, the devil, came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, if you are really the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And here's how Jesus answers. It is written, let's read it together. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Friends, here's the point. It's only when you and I come to Jesus Christ, we receive the full shower of God's richness. It is through Jesus Christ we are approved. Through Jesus Christ we are blessed. Jesus was led into the desert for 40 days of fasting. He was humbled and tested, but remained faithful to God. Jesus is our manna. Jesus is our living water. And he is the promised land. Let me end with the applications. Number one, therefore, receive all of God's richness through Jesus Christ. Come to him. Come to him. Come to him today. For the first time. For the 100th time. Number two, expose what's in your heart. Go with the Holy Spirit into the wilderness and ask God, God, test me. Show me what's in my heart and my character. Expose me. And lastly, and therefore, since Jesus is the guy that we follow, let us obey and follow God's commands. Because we know that Jesus is the one. Would you close your eyes and pray with me? Lord God, we don't want to be in the wilderness. None of us does. But we recognize that you are doing something great out of that. You're humbling us, testing us. We thank you that through the person of Jesus Christ, you declare us. You declare us. You're loved, you're blessed, and you're children. Thank you. I pray for my guests, my friends at Mosaic House Church here. May they go with the Holy Spirit as Jesus did and receive what is in store for them. We pray, O Lord, that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even though when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near. Because you will never let us go. You will never let us go. Thank you, Lord.